That's so Braven. If you don't listen to this podcast, you know what happens? You get it.
Okay. I feel good about that.
That's right, I'm back. The only host not cool enough to host his own show every single week. Ben Raven here on That's So Braven, and I am coming to you on Wednesday afternoon. January 31st, we are outside of the Rumble. We've already done post-Rumble Raw and SmackDown, and wow, things move quickly, don't they? We've already pretty much got Fastlane and Elimination Chamber set up, so we've got a lot to talk about. I'm looking forward to getting into it. Just want to remind everyone, we are sponsored by Tom and Chi Granville. Go out there and eat all the cheese that I can't. I did break down and have a little at Grand Rapids Comic Con this past year, and it is fantastic. Just want to thank them for being cool and sponsoring us. And Tom and Chi Granville, go eat them grilled cheese. They got some crazy ones. That donut, everybody knows about that donut one, and that's aggressive, and you should try it once. But change it up. I had one with like barbecue sauce and chips on it. Pretty good stuff. But let's get right to business. The Royal Rumble. I felt exceeded expectations. I was pretty impressed with it. I truly, truly was. I'm not just saying that. I tweeted out some thoughts under the Court of Nerds handle and retweeted them under my handle at Benjamin S. Raven. And excuse me. I just felt like the show really produced, you know. The main card opener was AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and I mean, it was good in-ring action between AJ Styles and Sami, and you know, I don't know, it's this story never clicked. Like, it was good in-ring work, it was a solid match, it was you know, I don't know. The crowd never grabbed onto the storyline, I never grabbed onto the storyline, and that's about all I can say with it. AJ retains, and now, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen SmackDown, 3, 2, 1, Kevin Owens will face Sami Zayn in next week on SmackDown, and the winner will face AJ Styles for the championship at Fastlane. So the winner of that match next week on SmackDown gets beat by AJ Styles heading into WrestleMania. Because we'll get to it later, but Shinsuke Nakamura, of course, won the Men's Royal Rumble. We'll get into that deeper here in a second, and announced he would challenge AJ Styles. So we had answers before 9 o'clock on Sunday night during the Rumble, and that was weird. But like I said, we will get to that later. But Sami and AJ and Kevin Owens, you know, Kevin Owens is, you know, something's a little off with him right now. I think he's probably banged up, probably could use a little time off, it looks like. Just a couple weeks, maybe a month, you know. Something's not clicking there. I'm looking forward to seeing Sami versus Kevin, and I hope Sami goes over and gets that big match shot at Fastlane against AJ. But yeah, you know, that match was what it was. It was a very solid opener. It was what we thought it was going to be. It was solid in-ring work. We've seen it a lot for free on TV. I know that's an old school saying, for free, but I don't know. I wasn't blown away by it, you know? I never expected Sami and Kevin to win that match. I guess I just never got into the storyline. It just never stuck with me, never stuck with the crowd, and I think the reaction to it kind of speaks for itself. You know, we're not going to sit here and bag on an AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn match. I mean, of course something's going to have to go terribly wrong for that not to be a rock solid match. Well, this is a WWE Championship match at the Royal Rumble. You know, expected, I guess it was just missing something. The story was missing something, the match was missing that little extra something, keeping it from that next level. Moving on. The first of tag matches that existed. Two out of three falls match between the Usos and Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable, or as they are affectionately known on the Court of Nerds podcast network, as American Beta. This was a disappointment. Once again, the crowd just never latched on, and WWE booked it so we won't latch onto it in the future. Speaking for everyone here, I'm just gauging the crowd reaction through my TV. It didn't seem like they really gave a crap about it, and I didn't really care about it at home for some reason. You know, I like these two teams a lot. The Usos are doing some of their best work in a very long time since that day one is H, and Shelton Benjamin is great. I love Chad Gable's in-ring work. They're suplex machines. They're athletic. They are crisp, but, you know, they did some solid stuff, but why do we care? And then flash forward to the Usos winning this match 2-0. Why do we care? Why do we care moving forward? We'll see. We'll see. We will see. And then we'll go to, I mean, like I said, Usos 2-0. That's weird. But moving on, Jason Jordan, Seth Rollins, the champions, against Cesaro and Sheamus, the Bar. You know, like I said on Twitter, I'd love to see the speed up button on whatever is going on here with Jason Jordan. I don't know, it just feels bad taste to book a concussion in the middle of the match. I mean, I know you're going to build towards something here. I don't know. It was just weird. It was Seth versus the Bar. We've seen that every week since July. Moving on, the Bar, four-time champs. Amazing to see what Cesaro and Sheamus have become together. I would have never expected this team, even though these two guys are rock solid. Cesaro is a stud, freak athlete, strongest pound-for-pound guy in the company, and just hats off to them for making a team that people believe in, going from faces, singing Sheamus and Cesaro, to the heels that they are now, and that's just great work. For those who didn't see the match, Jason Jordan took a pretty ordinary bump on the outside end of the ring post. Sold the concussion for like 5 to 6 minutes and lost the match for the team, and it was a weird thing, and moving on. You know, I kind of want to hit the fast forward button on whatever doing with Jason Jordan here. I just can't believe it kind of looks like, with the crowd reaction and the quality of the work that's been put out there and the storyline itself, that we're probably going to have a Kurt Angle / Seth Rollins focused Jason Jordan WrestleMania season storyline. That is strange to hear. Hey, well, let's go on to bigger and brighter things. The 30-man Royal Rumble match started before 8 o'clock. I just was blown away by this. This had to have been the best Royal Rumble since, what, 2015 was a good one? Oh, shoot. You know, I mean, just this is one of the best Royal Rumbles ever. I mean, the longevity of Finn Balor's just fantastic work and positioning and selling and pacing from Finn. You know, I'm not going to pretend like I'm an expert of the industry. I'm a fan that's been obsessively watching for 21 years now, and I have studied and wasted a great deal of my life studying the ins and outs of this industry and just hating and loving it and hating and loving it, and I was blown away by him. He seemed like he knew what the hell he was doing. And to just get my one gripe out of the way, my God, John Cena, you are the face of the company still, whether people want to admit it or not. And he's shouting spots into the camera, I felt like. I feel like I heard him scream, "Stay down," like 3 different times, and 2 times with the camera on his face. Then, now, and forever, John Cena shouting spot calls into the camera. I just can't believe that he doesn't have a better awareness of that, or the camera guys don't have a better awareness of that. It was just, I know it's probably tough with all the moving parts during a Royal Rumble match, but that just bothered me a little bit. But I don't want to crap on Cena because I thought he did a great job physicality wise and he was kind of being a cocky weirdo, and it kind of leads into the weird turn he took the next night on Monday Night Raw, and I'll get into that in a second after we talk about this pay-per-view. But I mean, this was a fantastic Royal Rumble match. It was basically all main roster guys outside of the Hurricane. You know, there wasn't a ton. I mean, that was a surprise, and Dolph Ziggler came in at 30-0, and it was Finn Balor, Nakamura, Cena, and Roman Reigns as the final four. The new school, old school, Rey Mysterio. Oh, that was so awesome to see him back. He looked the best he had in years, and if they signed him to a full-time contract, that would be awesome. I know it kind of sounds like it was a one-off event for now, as he was in talks with Impact, I think, as recently as last month. But whatever. I was so happy to see him. He looked like he was in fantastic shape. Got a much better reaction than he did when people thought Daniel Bryan was going to be coming out at 30 a couple years ago. And, you know, good for him. He looks fantastic, and good on the fans for welcoming him back. And he was in the final six. It was really cool to see him, Reigns, and Cena staring at Nakamura, Balor, and whomever. I forget, but you know what I'm saying. Sorry. That's terrible. But Nakamura won, and they... I felt like they ribbed us so hard, making us think it was going to be Cena or Roman Reigns, you know? It was. Cena eliminates Balor, and then it's that. I loved the spot to eliminate Cena, just kind of Nakamura at his best, doing the little dance move to avoid the shoulder to the gut, give him Kinshasa, boom, hit Roman with it and toss him over, and Nakamura going over in that situation is just smart money. The fans are happy. It's a chance to build a star in the WWE way, winning the Rumble, winning the title at WrestleMania, and we already knew he was going to be facing AJ Styles at WrestleMania. He called it out immediately. You know, there was a small part of me that thought maybe he'd say Brock Lesnar, but let's be real here. It's Nakamura and AJ Styles at WrestleMania for the WWE Championship, unless on the insane outside chance that either Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn beats AJ for the title at Fastlane. So, yeah, I've just got to say that regardless, because... card subject to change. I'm excited. We're gonna get Nakamura in the spotlight. This is his chance to shine. This is his chance to just take the ball and roll, and I am excited to see him and AJ in a long program. I'm ready for this Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn thing to kind of focus elsewhere, and I want to see Nakamura and AJ get into it. I am excited for that. For those wondering what my favorite Royal Rumbles are, just out of WWE Network ideas, I highly recommend you watch the 1992 Royal Rumble. It was for the championship. Ric Flair's shining moment in the WWF, 1992, that Royal Rumble is fantastic. It's fantastic. It made Ric a star in the WWF. It cemented him with that following, and it was awesome. It was an awesome match. It was a very awesome match. The Stone Cold years were fantastic in 97-98. I loved the Shawn Michaels Undertaker Final 2 Royal Rumble. I'm scratchy on years. That was probably 2007, I want to say, because I went to that WrestleMania that year where Undertaker challenged Batista. A couple years ago was pretty great, but 2015, I believe. Yeah, 2001, yeah, that one was great. I believe that was Triple H's return. You know, just a couple of those. Go and watch those. You know, moving on. After the Men's Royal Rumble, I know I'm doing this out of order, but I want to talk about that WWE Universal Championship match. Kane, Braun, and Brock Lesnar. What else could this have been besides big dudes breaking everything? Sometimes that's all you need. That was going to protect Kane. Not that Kane needs protecting. He doesn't need protecting. That was going to make Kane look the best, it was going to make Braun look vicious, and it was going to make Brock look like Brock. And that's exactly what happened. They all took a beating. Oh my god. Yeah, they all took a beating. Braun knees Brock in the head. Brock freaks out for like 4 seconds and just drills Braun with a right to his face that staggered him a little bit. Thank god it didn't knock anybody out. Because I want to see these guys work together more. I want more Braun and Brock. I'm usually, you know, I'm talking into a computer about wrestling. You know, I usually don't want to see big guy and big guy action. But in this situation, I definitely do. But for reals, Braun and Brock. I want Brock and Braun at WrestleMania. I think that would tear the house down. I'd love to see him try and go 10, 15 minutes, you know, and just... That would be cool. See these guys just destroy each other. But this match was just fun. I mean, it was just breaking tables and near falls and finishers and punches, you know? Whatever. It filled its spot. It did it great. And that, God, it was exciting. It was exciting as hell. I didn't feel let down by that at all. You know, obviously, I have nothing against Brock Lesnar, but I'm just ready for the Braun Strowman era to start. And maybe that tells me that WWE's doing it right, because... I'm ready. I want to see him go over big time. I think he can do it. I think he could do it. I really do. I think he has the right character and just enough mic skills to make it work. He's got a great look. He's got great music. He's got a great yell. He gets great pops. But it is time to move on to the two most noteworthy things of the night. The Women's Royal Rumble and, of course, Ronda Rousey coming down to the ring afterwards. I felt that the first 30-woman Royal Rumble was fantastic. Sasha and Becky starting us out just felt right, with Alexa and Charlotte at ringside and Stephanie McMahon on commentary. It felt cool. I don't understand why Maria Menounos had to do the guest ring announcing, because the ring announcer is already a woman, so okay. But moving on, Sasha and Becky, oh my goodness, both of them were fantastic. Obviously, you know, Sasha had the longevity and the pacing, and she was there, and she was there, and she was there, but my one-time guest on the show, Matt Durr, if he's listening, hey, Matt, texted me about, he, like, recorded Sasha doing some, phantom kicks in the corner, and I mean, when I say phantom kicks, it must have been the countdown on the big Titantron. She's staring at the Titantron, like, half-assing, not kicking anything when she's holding somebody down in the corner, and it looked really bad. It did look bad, and I know Matt was upset about that, and when I saw that, I was like, oh, shit, I did not notice that during the match, because I'd sit here and say Sasha was great. I mean, she turned heel in the middle of the match, and that's always kind of cool. The more swagger and attitude she gets, the better her character is, this happy-go-lucky Bayley's friend Sasha character we've had since Charlotte went to SmackDown has been a pathetic use of her talent, I feel. I feel like she's got talent in the ring and outside of the ring, and she's got an awesome look and an awesome character, and some people are always going to love her, and some people are always going to hate her, and that's just a matter of the fact, and I just think there's more to her as a heel, I believe, and I felt like, outside of the phantom kicks that I kind of wanted to throw up about, she did a great job, and she set the tone, and the match had some cool moments. Molly Holly looked fantastic. Hit the senton flip off the top rope. Michelle McCool took her a little bit to get going. And fuck the fans in attendance for chanting all these women's husbands' names at them. Like, come on. They're in the main event at the Royal Rumble. Why are you chanting their husband's name at them? Chant their name. You don't chant the Undertaker at Michelle McCool. Don't Cena sucks at Nikki Bella. Rusev Day. I guess Rusev Day for Lana works. She kind of embraced that. But you know what I'm saying? That was just lame. Don't chant their husbands and boyfriends or significant others' names at them. That was weird. But yeah, Michelle McCool looked great. Beth Phoenix looked good. Trish Stratus looked like she did not miss a step. Like, seriously. That was impressive. She came in at 30. That was an awesome number 30. That was the one that I called. Unfortunately, Chris Jericho did not show up at the Rumble. It was kind of looking like a lock after he was at Raw 25, but he was not there. He was doing some Fozzy things. Fozzy, oh. That's the only song I know, and I don't even think that's... I think that's Andy Dwyer from Parks and Rec drunk singing. That's the only Fozzy song I know. Sorry, Chris. But, yeah, fantastic match, and Asuka came in. Man, she hit everything right. The crowd ate her up, and she was... I like that they're having her speak more Japanese and then following it with her English. Like, Raw and SmackDown are going to be kind of similar. You know, we got two Japanese superstars winning the Royal Rumble. I know that was a weird way to say Asuka won the Rumble, but you're listening to this, you already know that. I mean, it was her moment. She won the Rumble, and just because Ronda Rousey came down the ring after the match doesn't take away from that, you know? I felt like Ronda's pointing for 5 drawn-out minutes took away from that. Not her presence itself. I felt like her presence itself made Asuka's win even more important. More of a spotlight on Asuka. Asuka's name is getting mentioned in all those Ronda Rousey stories. The general public has now heard Asuka's name. People that wouldn't have heard her name have now heard it. It was just Rousey's mindless pointing for 5 minutes that ruined it for me. Why the fuck do we gotta point 10 times in 5 fucking minutes? Point twice, get the fuck out of the ring, or do something else. I get that you don't want to have her talk or do anything physical. I get that. 100% get that and support it. But why is she pointing every 5 seconds, 4 or 5 seconds, that many times? Like, that is... What the fuck? That's my take on the pointing. I'm excited to see what happens with Ronda Rousey. I hope it doesn't turn Asuka's championship match at WrestleMania into something fishy. I want to see a singles women's championship match. I want to see a women's storyline, you know. We're talking about all these historical moments for women in the WWE, but how about let's give them a substantial storyline with some substance, you know, and not just 30 woman rumble, Money in the Bank and stuff like that, you know. Let's develop a story. We haven't had a real good story here since Charlotte Sasha. It's missing something. We need something. And hopefully they do that with Asuka, and hopefully we get something awesome with Ronda Rousey and she gets to prove herself in the ring, because sounds like this is what she's doing. Sounds like this is what she's doing. Ah, we're going to move on from the Rumble, and you know what I'm not doing? I'm not eating at Tom and She Granville, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't. I just can't. I'm lactose intolerant. I have issues with cheese. We don't need to get into that, but you should absolutely find them on Facebook, Tom and She Granville. Look them up. Get in there. They've got a cool spot. Great menu. Delicious sandwiches. Good bread. Friendly atmosphere. And just a cool take on cheese. Drew is going to hate me for that ad. But let's move on to Raw and SmackDown. Big news coming out of Raw was that the Men's Elimination Chamber match, which is Raw exclusive this year, will be for the number one contendership at WrestleMania to face Brock Lesnar, because I'm assuming he will not have a match at the card. We're having 6 qualifying matches for that. 3 already happened this past week. Elias is in. Braun Strowman is in after beating Kane in a Last Man Standing match. Elias beat Matt Hardy. Sorry. Yeah, Matt Hardy, you know? He's kind of in that Cassius Ono role, I think, until Jeff gets back, or Brother Nero. And then in the main event on Raw, John Cena beat Finn Balor. And that was the only one where I was disappointed. And not because of Cena. I don't want to sound like that. It's not. It's just like, Finn almost went an hour. And unless we're going to do like a last chance battle royal for the final spot, or like a fatal 5-way for all the guys that lost their qualifying matches and the winner of that like gets in or something like that, I'm just like, where are we going with Finn? We got to get him something. You got to get him something. He ride him hot, you know? Anderson and Gallows, use them in some way, but don't let it fall. Don't let it fall right now, you know? Don't let the audience lose track of Finn. He is riding hot right now. He's delivering on every show you put him on, and that's nothing against Cena. But talking about that match, Cena had a weird gimmick on Monday Night Raw. He was being distracted by the crowd chanting, "You suck," and "Cena sucks," and singing the "John Cena sucks." So that's weird. I think we're going to see like a character change here. We've been calling that for years. Maybe it finally happens. Maybe they're letting John fire back at the fans. Maybe he gets a little more attitude to him. Who knows here? That could be interesting. If Cena gets a little character tweak, my God. That'll be interesting. That's all I got to say about that. But moving on to the women's stuff. The women's Raw match will be for Alexa Bliss's title. So if Asuka picks Alexa Bliss, we not even see her versus Alexa Bliss. So that'll be interesting. I didn't see anything announced for that. But we'll have 3 more Elimination Chamber matches on Raw this upcoming Monday. Moving on to Tuesday night. I did not see SmackDown, but I did see that Kevin and Sammy would face off next week to determine the number one contender for Fastlane, so we'll see there. And big 205 Live news. I didn't see this either, but I spoiled it for myself. Rockstar Spud is the new 205 Live commissioner, and that is super cool because WWE also just... he's going to go by Drake Maverick in WWE, and he is the GM of 205 Live. And for those who don't know Rockstar Spud, he's kind of a do-it-all talent, manager, wrestler, character, hella fun guy that was a standout in TNA and TNA's not-so-standout-ish years. Also, more TNA news. WWE hired Jeremy Borash, who had been with TNA since 2002. JB did everything from ring announcing, commentary, backstage interviews, creative, you name it, Borash did it in his 16 years with TNA, and all sources are saying that he was like an MVP there. So huge get for WWE. I can't wait to see what they have for him. Also, War Machine was seen advertised by WWE at NXT TakeOver this past Saturday, and EC3, another TNA standout from the weird GFW bird logo. Impact, not Impact, TNA, no, we're Impact years. Look forward to those guys in NXT. That's going to be super fun. I hope they get to keep all their names. I see that Rockstar Spud didn't get to keep his name. That's interesting. I can just picture Vince hating that name or something like that, you know? But that's exciting. It's very exciting. And I'm interested in 205 Live. Drake Maverick, Rockstar Spud is the GM. They're doing a 16-man single elimination tournament to fill the vacated Cruiserweight Championship that Enzo Amore held when he was fired for the rape allegations and the rape investigation and all that. We'll have some interesting matches on that. I see that we're doing some UK guys in there, some cruiserweights. We'll see a nice mix of guys, I think, in there, and that's pretty exciting. 205 Live. Even that's going to be watchable in WrestleMania season. I do want to touch on just a couple more things. I got to talk about the NXT TakeOver show, and I want to talk about the three and New Japan matches I watched from the show in Sapporo this past weekend. I've got to gush about NXT TakeOver from Saturday night. Oh my goodness. First of all, Almas versus Gargano. Not just potentially the best NXT TakeOver match of all time, but quite possibly one of the better WWE matches in a very long time. These two, this was so good. I mean, this was really so good. NXT TakeOver Philadelphia. Gargano and Almas went for 32 minutes and 22 seconds, and they beat the ever-loving piss out of each other. There were so many near falls and perfect Zelina Vega interference and Johnny's wife Candace getting involved and just huge spots. Innovative spots like the running knees to a kneeled Gargano in front of the ring post. Just brutal, 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 brutal stuff. And God. Oh, yeah. Almas hit the double knee smash on Gargano, who was against the ring post on the outside apron, outside of the ropes. And then he hit his elevated hammerlock DDT to retain the title, just like he kind of won it. And oh my God. I mean, there were finishers after finisher, submission after submission, high spot after high spot. Almas, I am a huge fan of his work, like a huge, huge, huge fan of his work, and this proved it. These two went at it. These two were perfect. This was a 32-minute match, and these two paced it out perfectly. There was a little bit of everything in this match, and I'm just blown away by the things that they do, the super kicks, the slingshot DDTs, the innovative double knee smashes, the high-flying, perfect maneuvers. They nailed everything. Their pacing was perfect. Their selling was perfect. The near falls were perfect. They took everything to the next level. And then on top of that, as we're going off the air, Tommaso Ciampa returns and hits the shit out of Gargano with a crutch. So not only is Almas still our NXT champion, but we're going to get that Gargano-Ciampa feud that's been built since NXT TakeOver Chicago. Before that, Aleister Black and Adam Cole went at it in a brutal 22-minute Extreme Rules match. Must watch matches, these two matches. Overall, the whole show was pretty solid. Pretty solid. Undisputed Era and Authors of Pain. Solid. Rock solid. Tag team match. Nothing special. Nothing terrible. Undisputed Era retains with a really cool finish. AOP does their running double power bombs into each other. And one gets thrown out of the ring. One gets thrown. One of them, I believe it was Razor, got thrown into Akam. Either way. Roll up, win, cool finish. Velveteen Dream and Cassius Ohno worked a, once again, solid match. Dream, I felt like Dream got slowed down by Ohno, and I hate saying that because I was a big Chris Hero, Cassius Ohno fan growing up. He's just so out of weight. He's a solid worker. He's going to be a great trainer. I'd like to see him transition into that role, and I feel like an asshole saying that, but just, I don't know. I felt like Dream was missing a step because of it. Moon and Baszler, I loved the finish of this match. My God, I mean, I hate three-minute submission holds like that, but if you're going to lead to an awesome roll-up like that that's just out of nowhere seemingly, cool, dramatic stuff. And but Black and Cole, they beat the shit out of each other. There were some crazy spots in this, and unfortunately it was one of Black's most off-the-mark Black masses, but he still got the win after interference from the Undisputed Era and Sanity coming in for the kind of save for Black. So look for Aleister Black and Sanity against the Undisputed Era coming up. That'll be super fun because Cole and Black have some serious chemistry and they pulled out some interesting innovative spots here. Putting the two chairs together and kind of attitude adjustment. Fireman carried him onto that. Oh, just some great stuff. Killian Dane also. My God, that suicide dive to the outside was fantastic. Just fantastic. Just fantastic stuff. NXT blew me away. Oh, yeah, New Japan. Man, Drew and I watched a shitload of wrestling on Sunday. Whew, Young Bucks and Roppongi 3K. Sho and Yo versus the Young Bucks. That was a fantastic tag match. I was very impressed with the selling of Nick Jackson and just the overall work of these young 3K guys. These guys are blue chippers without a doubt, and this was a brutal match. It was all over the place and was a much different match than the Wrestle Kingdom match, where that was kind of more traditional and normal, which was interesting to see. This had some fantastic selling, some high spots, some risk-taking moves, and I want to see more from these teams. Excuse my phone in the background. I apologize. But yeah, that's really fun stuff. But I want to talk about Jay White and Kenny Omega for the IWGP US Championship. This is how you build a star. Jay White had a hell of a match with Tanahashi back at Wrestle Kingdom. Put him on the map. Cool promo. They had a great match. He's got a cool look to him. But Kenny Omega put this dude over. Omega beat the ever-loving shit out of White, and White never went away. Oh, and then hit two switchblades. The last one was brutal for the win. There were a couple spots here that over the top. And it's a problem that people have with New Japan is sometimes they take it too far and they don't slow down and do the selling enough. Omega going from the apron back first into the steel ring, the ring wall, the security barrier. It's just basically a bike rack, and he flew back first into it really hard, really far. That's just dangerous on your back, neck, and spine. You know, I don't like to see that. These guys beat the living shit out of each other. Jay White beat Kenny Omega in a fantastic match. I highly recommend you checking this out on NJPW World. Cody Rhodes, after some Bullet Club shenanigans, Omega pushes over one of the Young Bucks on accident after an altercation. People start leaving the ring, and Cody hits him with the crossroads in the ring. And yeah, we'll see what happens with that. But what a crazy weekend of wrestling. I felt like the Royal Rumble delivered. NXT TakeOver was amazing with the two main events. Gargano and Almas, my goodness. January, and we might have had our match of the year in the world. I was blown away by it. That match was fantastic, and I like the direction of NXT as we enter WrestleMania season. And the main card picture is looking pretty solid. You know, we've got some questions to answer. Seth Rollins, what's up? Finn Balor, what's up? John Cena, what's going on? You know, there's a lot of stuff to come together. Ronda Rousey, I don't know. Maybe she'll just point at stuff, and people will freak out and write headlines about it. Who knows?